Car guys and car gals, this brew has been brought by
Think Ag Group.
You can get information by going to
www.thinkaggroup.com.
Get you some.
My dad's God.
Because you walk into a different level of authority,
it.
Right?
That level of
authority becomes that mantle that you walk in understanding that, that a great faith, Jesus himself said, I've seen no greater faith than in this guy right here that doesn't practice our stuff, doesn't know our stuff.
That's right.
But he said, hey, I know what authority looks like. If you tell me to do it, it's as good as done. I got it. I don't even need you to show up. I know how your authority works, right? And so that mantle of power gets put onto authority inside of this earth that Daddy gave us to run and to handle. And this is our ball of joy, right? This is our ball of fun. If we pop our ball, we need to find a way to reinflate it, right? And he's teaching us these different things every day. And it's so inspiring to know that there's other people, again, that are out there to challenge that place in the heart of everybody to let them know that it's not just understanding who you are, but the pathway to understanding who you are is by understanding whose you are. And by doing that, we get to actually function the way the author designed for us. You know, I'm a strong believer that Chris Ballatin would say, the biggest opponent against God's plan for you is your plan for you.
Right? Oh man.
And it's so important that you tap into what Daddy said for you too. You know what I mean? Mm. And flow inside of that. But when you get to do it, there's such joy, there's such unity, there's such growth all around, like a beautiful garden, the way that he intended it. And he intended us to all brew together. He intended us to all flourish together and never be in competition with each other. And the moment that we would get in competition with each other, he'll show up to clean our feet, right? To make sure that we're not caught up with the stuff in the garbage that we walk through. Man, we can preach all day.
Let's have
some fun.
I love this. powerful. But all those things are so true. The power that you have inside you it's unlimited. You have to unleash that power and it's there. It takes work and it takes time. You know, everybody, we're not perfect, you know, and that's the beautiful part about this world. Nobody is. But we all strive to be perfect as we can be, right? And that's okay. Once again, like Lou mentioned a moment ago, we're not in competition with each other. None of us are. The only person you are in competition with is yourself. Just be better than you were yesterday. That's all.
That's it.
And it makes it that easy. And if you're just even a little bit better, that's cool. It's great. It's wonderful. 1%. That's all you have to do. If you could do 100% better tomorrow, fantastic. But if you do one, be proud of yourself.
But encourage one. This guy in the room right here, this brewer, right? He takes it to 800%. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about what it is that his 800% has done in the car business. Mr. Glenn Lundy, bringing that Jesus juice into the car business has been something that I've been challenged with my entire career. Mm. There's a lot of dark places in the business that most people don't think, and the stigmas say that Christians can't operate in. So what is it that got you into the car business? And really, what is that? What got you into the car business, Mr. Glenn?
Money.
Money.
Money. I love me some money, man.
No doubt.
Love me some money. No, man, I got the car business. I met a girl. I was 20 years old. I got her pregnant, like, right away. And I was like, oh, smokes, dude. Like, I'm going to be a dad. So that means I should probably get a job. I should probably do that. And so I went and got a job at a place called Sterner and Klein, where I sold America Online over the phone, cold calling people to sell America Online back when you actually had to pay for an internet browser. There was no Google and Chrome and all that stuff. And so I was selling America Online, and then I saw an ad in the break room of the phone center. I saw an ad in the newspaper that said, earn $5,000 a month guaranteed.
Boom.
And I was like, what? If I could make $5,000 a month, bro, that's it. I could retire.
Yes, sir.
That's big money. I mean, this is 22 years ago, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what's up. And so I saw the ad. I went and applied and got in Jason Kitts. He interviewed me. It was at a Nissan Subaru dealership that they had just moved in from Colorado and bought. And they were like, hey, you know, I was like, I ain't got no experience, but I got a mouthpiece I can sell. And he hired me on the spot. He was like, all right, cool. When can you start? And I said, well, I can start in 2 weeks. I got to let my other job know. And he was like, oh, sorry, off the table. I said, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean? He said, we're looking for people who can start tomorrow. And I was like, I guess I'm starting tomorrow. So I left the other place. I started on a Saturday. They put me in a room with a VCR and a bunch of Grant Cardone tapes. And I watched a bunch of Grant Cardone. I went out and sold a yellow manual transmission Xterra to a 19-year-old girl that didn't know how to drive a stick. Her and I went up in the woods. I taught her how to drive a stick. She bought the Xterra. I made a bunch of money and ain't never looked back.
Ruin solution since.
Ruin ever since.
Oh, man.
Yes, sir.
That's a great story.
That is a great story. You know, awesome. And it's truth. You know, and coming in the business, very similar actually for me. It was actually almost identical story. It's weird that you said that.
Like, guaranteed.
A couple years older, I was in the military first, came out, and then, you know, I joined because at the time, my wife now, but she got pregnant. So it was time for me to step up and do something for real, and I saw an ad myself. It was like $65,000 a year. I was like, whoa, let's go. 401k, yeah. Are you kidding me? Health benefits? Oh, snap. What? I'm going
balling, baby. I'm balling.
And my very first deal was a banger, and I was stuck. I never could get out of this business. It was like, all right, man, this is a beautiful thing. And I'm absolutely in love with this business. I'm absolutely in love with the people I've met in this business, the friends and friendships I've made. I'm sure you have a lot of those stories, too. So that's what my next question is going to be, unless you
– No, go ahead.
So my next question for you, Glenn, question number three is that – you know, coming up in this business, you have met a lot of people. I know that you started, I believe, in Flagship, Arizona?
Flagstaff.
Flagstaff. I don't know why I said Flagship.
Flagship is a bank, subprime bank.
Yes, sir, it is. And I know that lender very well. Yeah,
I know you do.
but absolutely, you know, Flagstaff. I actually lived in Arizona for 3 years when I was in Air Force in Tucson, so I should know that. I don't know why I said it wrong. But that being said, I know you've come up in the business, you've been through some stuff, you've done it the right way, you've done it the wrong way, but you've always been passionate about it. You've always been a hustler, you've been a grinder. And then you came in, you had an opportunity at Dan Cummings, you did that, you crushed the game there and just completely exploded that dealership up. I mean, just took it from a good store to the best in the nation type store, you know, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I did.
Glenn Lundy did that, guys. Josh is a great guy, and I know Josh too. Josh is an amazing guy.
Josh is amazing.
You did change the game up in that place. You completely flipped it around.
Changed the culture.
What a wonderful thing. So during that whole period of you coming up during that game, who was the one person that you think put the right mindset, helped you make that shift where you were at a path in the road, say, hey, I can go one way or I can go this way? Who was that person that showed you the way, that mentored you to say, go this way?
There wasn't one, dude. Like,
that's a tough one. I know that's a tough answer with one. It's like joining an award.
I'm trying to pick that, pulling it down into the person that was most pivotal into helping.
So at Dan Cummins, you gotta understand, like right now, you just see Glenn Lundy. That's all you see, right? You see the camera, you see Glenn Lundy. But what you don't see is like my brain is literally being like, there's little parts of my brain that are firing. Like I'm constantly, like I got John Maxwell sitting over on this shoulder. I got Jim Rohn is sitting over here. He's whispering in my ear. Les Brown's hanging out back here. He's whispering stuff. Eric Thomas is over on the other side. Simon Sinek, Jocko Willicks, Ed Milet, Grant Cardone. Like you see me, but there's like 50 dudes that are sitting in this chair right now. Not to mention, you know, my ancestors and my parents and all the things. So, I grant my power to the people that have come into my life and that have served me in a positive way. Josh Cummins being the most notable, in the car business, him being that for me and me being that for him. See, what was special about Josh Cummins and I's relationship and still is to this day, what was special about that is he made me like strive for more. I wanted to be better because he was such a good dude, right? Like a really good husband, a really good father. The way that he handled stressful situations was so admirable. The way that he negotiated from a place of power, but yet very low key. Like he's like the assassin on the team. Right? Like he's just the solid, quiet dude, but he's a freaking killer, right? And so I learned so much from Josh, but at the same time, I pushed Josh to be a little more outgoing, a little more outspoken, to start self-development, to start reading and developing books and listening to podcasts and the different videos and going to events and conferences and things like that. So we just had this relationship. We were just like challenging each other to find the next great podcast, the next great Audible, the next great conference that we could go to. You know, we went to the Entree Leadership Conference and got to meet you know, Simon Sinek, and got to meet Maxwell and what's old boy, the pay cash for everything guy. I forget his name. I try to forget his name all the time. We're in the car business. We're like, hey, you can finance. It's okay.
It's all good. Yes. Yeah, I agree.
So I forget his name, but that was what was cool about that relationship. So as far as, you know, the mentors that keep me on track, I got about 100 of them because my head can go in any direction at any given time. And so luckily I have now a perimeter. I got a perimeter of people that keep my head on straight. And then, you know, we kind of go through the seasons and Josh Cummins was just a great dude. So that really worked for us at Dan Cummins, having the two of us constantly making each other better.
Man, I love that answer. You know, and it's true. You know, we all draw inspiration from a ton of people. You could even use inspiration probably from somebody you grew up with. You could think about what something they gave you a tip on when you were young, and you could like, you know, I still use that tip. And it's amazing how when you can be collective and actually have a conversation with somebody, and every conversation you have, there's something to be learned, right? There's always something to be learned from a conversation, whether it's something good or bad, there's something there to be learned. Right. It's beautiful that you put honor to a lot of people. A lot of those names you brought out, I've read their books. I've watched a lot of their videos. Inspirational. At that level. Boom, and then I have that Glenn Lundy over here. Boom, you know, right, I got right, this right, over here for me. And so it's definitely there, you know, and I agree. And I love how you put that there. And that's a good way of explaining and even giving a visual. And it's factual. With all that coming up, you know, you met all these people and you've had a chance to, be mentored by a lot of these people, going to these conferences with your basically a business partner. I knew he was the owner of the store, but you know, being the general manager, you're the business partner with him, and you're doing right. everything together, and you guys are traveling, encouraging each other to grow, much like Lou and I are always doing every day. Mm-hmm. And I love that you had a partner like that during that time. And I know that there was a
key you have to have.
There is, right? But there's a time when you have to go fly, so there was a moment where this is going into the next question, question number four. There was a moment for you where you're like, okay, it's time for me to go fly. So there was a time you were like, okay, I'm going to step away from being a general manager here at Dan Cummins, and I'm going to go do glennlundy.com. I'm going to go rise and grind this thing. So what inspired you to go ahead and take that step? What made you say, you know what, I'm going to take a leap of faith and go ahead and say, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to make this work. Have you made it work? But what made you do that? What was the inspiration, or what drew you to make yourself take that next step, make yourself fly?
So that you can keep growing.
That's right.
Yeah, man, I am, you know, you're most comfortable in life right before death, right?
Yes.
So I've seen that. I've watched people die, and there's this moment of comfort that comes right before that. It's brief. It's brief, but there's a moment. It's almost like, right? Yes. And even myself, when I reached a real deep depression and I tried to take my own life, there was a moment where I was in the ocean. And I thought that it was my last moment on this planet. And I remember feeling so comfortable, man. I was just at peace. I was at rest. And so we're most comfortable right in life, right before death. And you see this in business. You'll see somebody will fight tooth and nail to get into a position. And then when they get there, they get comfortable. And what happens? Fired, right? Mm-hmm. Or you'll see an athlete who works his tail off to get into the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball. He works his tail off and then he gets there, right? He gets to the league and he gets comfortable. He thinks he made it. Mm-hmm. Gone. That girl, you know, he's bagging groceries 2 years later, right? So what I realized in a moment, I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't planning on leaving Dan Cummins. I had no intentions of doing anything like that because I loved every single minute of every single day that I was at work, and I loved Josh Cummins dearly. But there came a moment after I spent some time at Hustle and Grind Con on stage with Eric Thomas and around, you know, Danelle Delgado and all of these amazing human beings. And then I came back and I spent some time with my kids right after that for like 3 days. I took 10 days off of work for the first time in my career. And I spent some time, you know, so I spoke with Eric Thomas, spent time with Danelle, came back, spent time with my family. And then I went to a men's Christian leadership conference where Scott Nickel, the pastor, was just really like, really impressing upon us, like what it looks like to really fight for your message and for what you believe in versus just like kind of doing it, you know, like Jesus, we have this picture of him like carrying around a sheep, like he's all flannel graph or something like that. Like he's just this nice little dude. But if you actually read the Bible, like he fought, dude, right? Like he fought to save people's lives. He fought to push his message out there. He walked through, you know, deserts and faced famine and faced droughts and faced people wanting to take his life. And he went into unpopular places and he did all of that. He fought every single day for this message of hope, right? And so he loved us enough to fight like that. And so I looked at all that and it was like, boom, the stage with Eric, the time with my family, the men's Christian leadership conference. And when I kind of got back to work that Monday morning, I was talking to one of the other owners and it just hit me like, this is really comfortable. Me being at Dan Cummins was comfortable. Me making $750,000 a year as a GM was comfortable. It was really comfortable, bro. Like, yeah. Nice. Right? Like my kids are taken care of. I don't have to worry about any bills. I don't have to worry about that. I'm the face of the dealership. I get to drive Hellcats, whatever the heck I want. I can basically come and go as I please, which I always can because that's the way I roll. So I was working 80-hour work week, but that was by choice. It wasn't Josh requiring me to do that. Right? So it was really comfortable. I just didn't realize how quite comfortable it was. And comfortable scares the crap out of me. So I just felt a tug. It was like God was saying, all right, Glenn, you could stay right here, right now, for another decade, and you'll be nice and comfortable. Or you can follow me, and get off the boat, step out into the water, and let's see what you can really do. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to take it. I decided to act on that tug, and it didn't make sense.